The Amalekites are a type of the flesh. Not only did they want to destroy Israel, they wanted to go after the weak, the stragglers, when they were trying to get to the promised land, but now going after the women and children, they're going after the families. You see, it's a type of the flesh. The Bible tells us to put to death the deeds of the flesh and you shall live. If we let the flesh rule in our life, it'll destroy our life, but also it'll destroy our family life. You see, the flesh life can ruin us and ruin our family if we just go with the flesh. But if we crucify the deeds of the flesh, we shall live.
As we gather, may your spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed.
Aloha kako e komo mai. Welcome to As We Gather, the Bible teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel Honolulu with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. Today, Pastor Bill continues in Samuel, looking at 1 Samuel chapter 30 and 31.
We'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because.
It has been a good journey through 1 Samuel. We've dealt mostly with King Saul, the people's choice. They wanted a king that reflected the nations because the nations had a king that would go out in pomp and ceremony, you might say, in these robes and with this retinue would go out, and they wanted that glory for themselves. And so they chose a man. It's really a man after the flesh and not a man after the spirit. And it really took a toll on the nation. And in any nation, you know, when you choose someone after the flesh that really doesn't have the ability to lead, then you find that that nation is in a downward slide. And that's what happens here. And so for these 31 chapters, we've seen a man who really brought the nation into duress, and he was not a good leader. And he did some things that are very obvious that we wouldn't want to see in a leader. And you've been through that with us in 1 Samuel. But as we get into 2 Samuel, and we'll start that week after next, we're going to see David arises to the throne. And David is God's choice. But even though you have God's choice, they have flaws in them, just like you have flaws, I have flaws. You know, if we wanted to nitpick people, we could always nitpick them and show the worst in them and then have everyone against them or have most people against them that are very naive and they want to follow whatever's said about a person. I know my son, if you've been around for a while, you know that he served 3 terms in the House of Representatives. He was a Christian, but he really wanted to make a difference in our government. 3 terms he served. Now, they're 2-year terms. The first and second, you know, it was a shoe-in. But when he was running for the 3rd term, they put a hit piece out on him. So they put all this salacious stuff that was not true. He had to deal with that. The whole political system here in Hawaii. So after he was elected, then on the very last page, they made a detraction. Is that what they do when they make a mistake or they say the wrong thing? But it was on the last page. So, you know, people don't necessarily read the last page. But here you have everything. You have it full. The 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel have everything that Saul did, everything that David did. And so you can really make an evaluation of good leadership and not so good leadership. And even in good leadership, they have their flaws. And we don't, God never, you know, hides those things. He just brings those things to show that, you know what? Good leaders, those that are after God's own heart, are not perfect individuals, just like we're not. And yet having a heart for the Lord is what God looks at. He doesn't look at our ability. He doesn't look at how smart we are. He doesn't look at so many of the things that the world looks at, that a lot of them are just veneer, but he looks deep into the heart who we are. And you see, he can change us from the inside out. He can forgive those flaws that we have, those mistakes, those sins that we make, as he did with David. And so really, God is all into the heart. He's not into what a person looks like on the outside or how they can fake people out. But that's what we see with David. Now, we're going to see the end of Saul's ministry. And David, he's been on the run from Saul, who wanted to kill him, wanted to murder him, always had plots against him, probably for 12 to 15 years. That was the situation. Chapter 31 tonight, we're going to see that the reign of Saul ends. He dies in this chapter 31. But David, he sought to escape Saul's murderous plots, and so he flees to Gath. If you're with us, Gath, that's the city of the Philistines. And King Achish is there. And because David is at this point, he's fleeing from Saul, and he's almost out of his senses at this point. He's not praying where to go, but he goes. And you find at this point, he's out of faith. He's not walking in faith. He's walking in sight, and he's walking in feelings. And so as he goes to Achish, Achish says, David, I'm going to make you my bodyguard. And David, you'll go out to battle with me. You and your 600 men will go out with me in battle against Israel. You see, David really has Achish, that king of the Philistines, he has him fooled. He's lying to him. And that's why I say David is beside himself, because he's really not that way, but he is that way when he's running in fear and he's out of faith. And you can imagine what fear does. It forces us to do foolish things. You've done foolish things. I've done foolish things. Many times out of fear, when we're not in our walk of faith with the Lord. His men must really be questioning David's decisions, what he's doing and how he's bringing them in, you know, before the Philistines, and now he's going to go out to battle with them. I can imagine the men, these are 600 rough and tumble guys. These are men, you know, these are warriors. These are guys that have gone to battle. I can imagine them in the camp of the enemy. They're probably saying to one another, what are we doing in the camp of the enemy? I know we're running from Saul, but is this the best thing to do? And now this king wants us to go out to battle against our own people, against Israel? And David seems like he's compliant with it, to go out to battle with them? And the guys are probably talking back and forth, and maybe one of the guys is saying, hey, wait a minute. I'm not going to go out to battle against Saul. I have two brothers in the army there. I'm not going to go fight them. And so you can imagine what's going on here. David has lost faith. He hadn't prayed for direction at this point. He hadn't sought God in what to do. He simply followed his emotions and followed fear that was really daunting him, fleeing into the camp of the enemy, you know, because of that lack of faith and that emotion of fear, that feeling of fear. You find that in the Bible and in situations. Remember Peter, I mentioned Peter last time. Peter, when Jesus was arrested, remember he was warming his hands at the fires of the enemy, and then he denied the Lord three times, as Jesus said you were going to. He did that in fear. You see, it's amazing when we're not trusting the Lord and we're depending on our emotions, because emotions go up and down. You can feel faith and you can feel fear. But you see, faith is not a feeling. Faith is a decision. It's a decision to follow the Lord into whatever storm, whatever difficulty. You know, it's the Lord is going to come through. And what we see here in this situation, the providence of God gets David out of this mess that David put himself in. So often, God does that for us. God's providence, the circumstances that God is just kind of moving around, gets us out of very difficult situations. If you look back in your life, I could look back in my life, and he's certainly done that with me, and I'm sure with you. But what happens here is the commanders of Achish, they see David and these 600 men, and they go, hey, we can't go out to battle with these guys. We'll go out, and in the thick of battle, they'll turn on us and think they're going to do Saul and Israel a favor by turning on us. Well, we're not going to go out there with them. And so Achish realizes, you know, it's probably not the best decision. He doesn't want his troops to be, you know, against him in the battle. So he dismisses David and his men. And so they go back to that city of Ziklag that Achish had given them. David wanted a city, didn't want to live close to the Philistines in Gath at all. So give us a city outside. So he gave him Ziklag that was a ways away. And that way, David could do what he's doing. He was actually, you might say, a double agent. He really wasn't serving Achish in the Philistines, but he was going and making raids on some of the vassal cities and towns that were the Philistines had. And then he would lie to Achish, oh, I made a raid on one of the cities of Judah. And so he did that. That was his place. That's where he had Ziklag. But you see, that's where the families were, the families of the 600 men. They were in Achish, the wives, the kids, but it was unguarded. You see, David, in his fear and lack of faith, he left that city in Ziklag unguarded. And here you've got the wives and you've got the women and you've got the kids and all. And what happens? Well, there's a raid. There's a raid on Ziklag. That's where we are. Chapter 30, verse 1. We'll deal with portions at a time and then we'll talk about it. Then it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had made a raid on the Negev and on Ziklag and have overthrown Ziklag and burned it with fire. And they took captive women and all who were in it, both small and great, without killing anyone, and carried them off and went their way. And when David and his men came to the city, behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters had been taken away. Then David and the people who were with him lifted their voices and wept until there was no strength in them to weep. Now David's two wives had been taken captive, Ahinoam the Jezreelite, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal, the Carmelite. So usually when those marauding bands would take a city, they would kill the men and take the women and children. And often they would take them captive and maybe they would, you know, have them as possessions, but often they would sell them. They would sell them like to Egypt or other bands of individuals. And so apparently, even the providence of God, the sovereignty of God protected the women and children at this point. So it's amazing, even when David made these mistakes, how God was overseeing all this. We don't often sense that, but God oversees us. He oversees us tonight. He oversaw us yesterday, tomorrow. God oversees us. And even when we blow it, even when we do things that maybe are not in the realm of faith, they're in the realm of fear, or it's in the realm of the flesh, or whatever it might be. But it's interesting when you look at the mess that David had made, how is God ever going to overrule David's bad decisions? But we see that. We see that. Now the enemy takes advantage of this unguarded Ziklag. Things are going from bad to worse for David, his decisions. And his 600 men, now how much are they going to tolerate? How much are they going to put up with this when a leader that they're following, oh, they know he's anointed king of Israel. He had two chances to kill Saul. He didn't kill him. He let him live. And Saul's still coming after David and the men. And now they're in the camp of the Philistines, and now they come back to where they left their families, and now they're gone. Can you imagine what's going through the mind of these men of war and, you know, that David has led into this situation? You see, David is not willful. He's not willful. He's just weak at this point. He's weak because he's not trusting God. But you see, God is still in control. This is what I love about the Lord, because the last couple years have been some real difficulties. And yet at the same time, I've seen God bless incredibly in other ways. But I have to realize in those difficulties, God is still in control. He still knows what is needed, and he's still working. In spite of people, in spite of what I can do, in spite of what others can do, remember when God told Jonah to go to Nineveh and go preach there? Jonah didn't want to. Those were evil people. So he took a boat and he went to Tarshish, the opposite way. But then he got thrown overboard. You have to read the story. Good story. Whale swallowed him, and that whale took him where he was supposed to go, Nineveh, and irked him up on the beach there. And then he went through the city. 40 days comes destruction. One of the greatest revivals that ever took place. They all repented at that point. You see, but God got Jonah where God wanted him to be, and God will get you where he wants you to be. He got David where he wanted David to be. And in the midst of all these bad decisions that David made, it's just amazing what God does. Now, the Amalekites who made that raid on Ziklag, they should have been wiped out already. These were the same ones that attacked the stragglers there when they were going from Egypt through the land to Canaan. They would attack the stragglers, and you find that these are the ones that were destined for annihilation, and yet Saul let them live. Let the king live, Agag, and even some of the Amalekites. Because their time had come, their sin had come to heaven, and it was overflowing. And so God said, just wipe them out. They won't listen. But he doesn't. The Amalekites are a type of the flesh. You always have typologies in the Bible. So you see that, and you can see that it's a type of the flesh, and we can identify, the flesh with these Amalekites. Notice what they do. Not only that they want to destroy Israel, they wanted to go after the weak, the stragglers, when they're trying to get to the promised land. But now notice they're going after the women and children. They're going after the families. You see, it's a type of the flesh. The Bible tells us to put to death the deeds of the flesh and you shall live. You see, so often if we let the flesh rule in our life, it'll destroy our life, but also it'll destroy our family life. A lot of us know that that's so true. That's kind of like the Amalekites in our life. You see, the flesh life can ruin us and ruin our family. If we just go with the flesh, if we just do that. But if we crucify the flesh, the deeds of the flesh, we shall live. That's what the Bible is telling us. You see, through all this, God is teaching David and his men, teaching and correcting, not just teaching, but correcting, because David didn't pray. He didn't seek the Lord for answers and direction. And so David and his men leave their family unprotected in that wild land. That seems like one of the worst things to do. But when you're not thinking right, when the Lord is not leading and guiding, sometimes you just don't think. And so the flesh, usually the flesh dominates when there is no prayer, when we're not seeking the Lord. But David will come through. He will come through. You see, God restrains harm on the families. I like that. So this king, this Amorite king, not a good guy, a bad guy, but the Bible says the king's heart is like channels of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he wishes. Proverbs 21:1. So obviously, God not only had David and his men in his hands, but he had this pagan king in his hand too. Didn't allow him to harm the families there. Goes on, verse 6. We'll go down to verse 8. Moreover, David was greatly distressed because the people spoke of stoning him, For all the people were embittered, each one because of his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Then David said to Abiathar the priest, the son of Ahimelech. Now remember, Saul destroyed 85 of the priests and only Ahimelech, only Abiathar escaped. You know, wiped out Ahimelech and all the 85 priests. And Abiathar joined David. So now he's calling for Abiathar, the priest, to seek the Lord. He says, please bring me the ephod. Now the ephod was the garment that the priest would wear to discern the will and the things of the Lord. And often it had two pouches in it where the Urim and Thummim were there, lights and perfection. And they don't exactly know what they were. I've read that they say, well, they're white a rock and a black rock, you know. And so whichever one they would choose, it's either a yes or a no kind of thing. We don't exactly know, but he's able to discern the will of the Lord. And that's what the priest is doing. That's what Abiathar is doing for David. Bring the ephod. So Abiathar brought the ephod to David. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this band? Shall I overtake them? And he said to him, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them, and you shall surely rescue all. You have to believe that's so refreshing to David now to hear from the Lord. He's probably thinking, why didn't I do this in the first place? You know, have you ever thought that? You're praying, you're all of a sudden, you're reading the Bible, and all of a sudden, things that are dark, they turn to light. Directions that you were taking, now and you're in a path that doesn't have a bunch of thorns and thistles, but you're on a road that leads somewhere. Well, that's probably what David felt like. And I'm certain David communicated that to the 600 that were with him. And so the men at this point, they were ready to rise up against David. They were so angry with what he did, led them in these series of bad decisions, one after another. And they faithfully followed him. This is the last straw when their families are gone. They've had it.
And that's where we'll finish on today's edition of As We Gather with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. This was a portion of a weekly Bible study from the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 30 and 31. You can hear this message again by visiting CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com and take advantage of our media archive. We really appreciate any support from our listeners. Your encouragement and prayer go a long way for this ministry. If you'd like to support the As We Gather media ministry, you can give securely online at CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com. And for those who would like to be a regular sponsor, you can set up a recurring gift on the schedule of your choice. May the Lord richly bless you as you walk with Him today.
As we gather, may Your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify Your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. Because we came. As we gather, may Your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify Your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may Your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify Your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came.
Next time on As We Gather, we'll continue in 1 Samuel chapter 30 and 31. Until then, aloha and agape.
will be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.